There's questions and answers tomorrow night, and you can ask Dr. Suzanne any question you like after she's finished. You can ask any question you like after I'm finished, too, as long as you ask him. Right? And Jonathan will answer them for you, so that would be good. It's lovely to be here. It's nice to see some of the faces tonight. It's a wonderful thing to be saved, and thanks, Cyril, for his testimony this evening. I know Mary sitting down there. I can remember the day Mary got saved, doing her ironing, listening to God Be the Glory, great, the vilest offender who truly believes, and she got saved that day. There's the big fella down there, Edgar Hogg. He used to sing in the choir. Can remember one Sunday morning after the morning service, he was in tears. We'd been singing Be Still My Soul, and he wasn't saved by the morning meeting, but he went to wee mission hall at night and got saved that night after having talked about it for a long time before that. And I've got three bouncers with me tonight from New Dawn Evangelical Fellowship. One of them got saved as a wee fella of five in his bedroom floor, asked his mummy how to help him to be saved. The other two fellas were saved in New Dawn just a short time ago. One fella after the morning service, the other fella after the evening service. And then the next night, the Monday night, Gary's wife got saved as well. So it's tremendous. It's a wonderful thing to be saved, isn't it? Yes, and if you're saved, you'll know that. And if you're not saved tonight, don't you think, sometimes people think that to get saved will ruin your life. You ask any of these people, you ask those young fellas, did it ruin their life to get saved? It made them. It made their lives. And if you're in the supper tonight, you should be worried for they can eat. Boy, can those three boys eat. So if you want to slip out and get another loaf, that would be very well received indeed. And then there's Santa too, look. I know we don't believe in Santa, but there he's sitting there. And it's his body double from Plum Bridge. He thought he was from the North Pole, but he comes from Plum Bridge. And there he is there. So it's nice to see you all. And again, just, what, two nights left of the mission and then Sunday afternoon. So bring folks with you, will you? I know you've been trying very hard, and that's great. And continue on and encourage others to come. We're going to read just a few verses from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24, and we're reading verse 36 to 44 of Matthew 24. Verse 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Amen. And we know that God would bless his truth to all our hearts for his name's sake. Amen. Now, over the past nights, and again, if God spares us to the end of the mission, we'll be thinking, we have been thinking, we will be thinking about different aspects of the gospel message. And I trust that if you're saved, that you have been thrilled again, just refreshed in your own soul as you've listened to the gospel message and realized again just how privileged you are and how special you are to the Lord. And I trust that it's encouraged you in your own Christian life to go on with the Lord and to be active in these days, witnessing and sharing your faith. Maybe it'll give you an extra encouragement to go out and seek to win others and tell others about God's wonderful salvation too. And I'm sure all of us in here have got different plans for the days that lie ahead. I'm sure if you're kind of one of those people that like your holidays, you've maybe already been thinking, or you've already planned or booked even your holiday for the summertime, July or August or whatever, in 2014. Maybe you've got different plans for your family and all the rest of it. Maybe you've got many dreams that you still haven't fulfilled in your life, but you're still working towards those, and you've got all kinds of ideas and dreams for the days that lie ahead. There's all kinds of young folk, and they're planning to be sitting their GCSEs or their A-levels come next May or next June. There's probably people in the new buildings area planning that they're going to get married, all being well, maybe the next summertime. Or, if you want to get married on a particular day in a particular hotel and on a particular date, then you probably have to book that some 3 years before your actual wedding. So, in fact, sometimes you need to book the hotel before even you get the man. And once you get the hotel booked, then you can work on the business of trying to get somebody to go to the hotel with. But we all have these plans that we make ahead. Sometimes it's only a week or two. Sometimes it's a month or two. Maybe sometimes it's a year or two. But what we want to think about together tonight, just for a wee while as we draw the service to close, is what happens if tomorrow doesn't come? I know there's a lovely song that says, "If tomorrow never comes." Well, what happens if tomorrow never comes? There's nothing wrong with having your plans and your programs and all the rest of it, but what happens? What happens if tomorrow never comes? Well, three things. First of all, it would mean that your worries will never be realized. It would mean that your worries would never be realized. I remember hearing a lady on the radio one day. She was being interviewed, and she said, "I am very, very worried about what lies ahead and what life is going to bring me." Some talk show she was on, and that's what she was saying. She was very, very worried about what lies ahead. And she went on to express her worries. She told that she had worries about her marriage. She had worries about her family. She had worries about her home. She had worries about her health. She had worries about her future. She was a very worried woman about what was going to happen to her in the future. And there are some people in our world and in our area, and maybe you might be one of them, but people whose minds are filled from the minute they waken in the morning to the time that they close their eyes at night, and their minds are filled with a constant stream of worries and of cares. And certainly life, if you've lived it at all, you'll know is full of stresses and strains, and none of us miss that. It hits us one way or another all in our lives. And life makes continual demands upon us. And often when we're living our lives, we feel under pressure, and sometimes it's constant pressure, and sometimes we even feel it's about to get too much for us, and we're not going to be able to manage, we're not going to be able to handle it, and we begin to fear what tomorrow might bring. There are so many people living with worries about their health, and some people struggling with cancer and all that means. So many people with financial problems these days. So many people with family issues. So many people have lost their jobs. So many others facing redundancy. But listen, if tomorrow never comes, then all the things that trouble us today and all the things that rob us of our joy today and all the things that would rob us of our peace today will never happen. And all the worrying will have been for nothing. Jesus says in Matthew 6:25, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life." Verse 34, "Take therefore no thought for the morrow." God doesn't want us to live with our lives filled with worrying about tomorrow and what might happen tomorrow and what might happen next week or next month. God wants us to live our lives trusting Him, depending on Him, relying on Him. God wants us to live by putting our tomorrows into His hand and having the confidence that whatever will happen tomorrow, if it comes, that God will provide for us everything that we need according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. There's a wonderful verse, Lamentation 3, verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And it's lovely. We're just talking about this before we come in. It's lovely to know as a believer that you have a Savior and who is great in his faithfulness to you. And a Savior has promised that he never leave us, he never fail us, or he never forsake us. And how many of us prove that day after day? And that's the way God wants us to live, trusting in the faithfulness of our God, so that we don't have to be worried sick about what might happen tomorrow or next week or whatever. And Jesus says when we're living in our lives, this ought to be our priority. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you as well. So Jesus is saying, look, don't worry about your life. Don't worry about tomorrow. Instead of that, seek first his kingdom. Seek first to have Christ in your life. Seek first to be right with God. Seek first to have put your hands into the hand of your Maker. Seek first the salvation of your soul. And then all these other things that might happen to your life and might not happen, you can go forward in the confidence that your Savior and Lord, your friend and companion, will see to it. Jehovah Jireh, that's one of his other names. The Lord will see to it. The Lord will provide. So if tomorrow never comes, it would mean that your worries will never be realized. Tell me, are you worried sick about your life? Are you worried sick about what might happen or what might not happen to you? My friend, if you're not saved tonight, then you want to seek Christ tonight. You want to put him in the center of your life tonight. You want to live with the confidence in him. If you are saved tonight, why are you living worried sick about tomorrow? I know difficult things are demanded of Christian people, but he never fails. We can trust him fully, all for us to do. Second thing is, if tomorrow never comes, your success will be of no value. Your success will be of no value. I remember seeing an advert in a newspaper that said, put a smile on your face, start living as a millionaire. And it was all to do with a competition, and they wanted, of course, to enter the competition. The prize was a luxury mansion in a beautiful, warm, foreign country with a load of cash to go along with it and a lifestyle to match. How many people live wishing they could win a competition like that? How many people live their life wishing that they could win the lottery? You see them and I see them. You go in and you're standing behind them at the petrol station and they're taking all these different cards, £1 a time, and they're taking all these different numbers and give me that colour and give me that colour and I'll take one of that. And they go and they're trying their best, hoping, wishing, longing that someday all their numbers will come up and they will hit the jackpot and they'll become a millionaire. We live in a world where people think that the more money we have, the more we'll get out of life. The song says money makes the world go round, and the world will say to you, look, the more money you have, the more comfortable you'll be, the more bearable life will be, the more pleasant life will be, the easier you'll get through life if you've got money behind you, if you've got success behind you. And yet we know when you think about it, that's not true, because wealth might be able to provide you with a beautiful, huge mansion to live in and the nicest car in the world to park in your driveway, yet it can't buy you health, and it can't buy you happiness, and it can't buy you contentment, and it can't buy you lasting joy, and it can't buy you true love, and it can't buy you many other things besides. And yet there's so many people tonight craving for that. thinking that that won't be. If I just could get a rise in my income, if I could just get more income into the home, then we'd all be happier. And life would all be so much easier and better. I wonder how rich you are tonight as you come to the meeting. How rich are you? Well, the Bible says that the last place, if you want to answer that question, the last place you should be looking is your bank statement. I wonder, in your life, what is the focus of your life? If you're not saved tonight, what is life all about anyway? There's another big question. It's not about just getting and getting and getting and getting more and more of this world's possessions or whatever. Job 1 says, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord give, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Ecclesiastes 5 says, as he came forth of his mother's womb, naked shall he return to go as he came, and shall take nothing of his labour which he may carry in his hand. Or 1 Timothy 6 says, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. So here we are, and for a lot of people, it's about working and getting and gathering and accumulating as much of as they can of this world's goods, thinking to themselves that the more that they can gather, the happier they will be, the more that they can gather, the more secure they will be. But what happens if tomorrow doesn't come? Then if tomorrow doesn't come, it doesn't matter what you've got in the bank account. It doesn't matter how much land you have, how many cat you have, how many sheep you have. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how many qualifications you have. It doesn't matter how successful you've been in life. It doesn't matter what you've achieved in this life, because naked you come into this world and naked you're going out of it again. And you can't even carry anything in your hand with you. So the house or the farm or the car or whatever, the qualifications, whatever it is, they're not going with you. And if tomorrow doesn't come, then all that you have today in life is taken from you. Naked you come into the world, and naked you're going out of it again. You can't even take anything in your hand. And yet for many people, they work as hard as they can. Work as hard as they can, trying to get themselves, trying to better themselves all the time. That's the focus of their life. But what if tomorrow doesn't come? Jesus says, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and loses his soul? And that's the thing. What is the focus of your life tonight as you come to the meetings? And certainly the focus of a lot of people out and beyond this church and new buildings is, they're just living life and getting on with the day-to-day processes of life, trying to get through, trying to better themselves, always trying to have a better life than they've had before. And if tomorrow doesn't come, all the things that so many people out there are holding on to that mean the world to them, and all the things that maybe mean the world to you in this life, they're just taken off you. And you can take none of them with you. Then the last thing is, it will mean you meet your maker. If tomorrow doesn't come, means your worries will never be realized. It means your success will have no value. But it also means that you'll meet your maker. And there isn't a person in this church that doesn't know that someday your life's coming to an end. I was taking part in a funeral service this morning of a lady of 59 just. 12 weeks diagnosed with cancer. I have in my ministry taken the funeral of a lady of 106. I've also ministered at a funeral of a child, an infant of just 2. I've also stood beside a couple as they put the the remains of a 20-week-old child that died in its mother's womb in the grave. And if we were to go around the cemeteries of Londonderry tonight, then we would see every age and every stage of life are in those cemeteries. And whilst all of us know that for each of us, the 12th of November, Tuesday the 12th of November, could be our last day on earth. We know that is a possibility. We know it. And yet we don't think it'll happen. And that's how many people content themselves. Oh yes, it could happen, but I don't think it will happen. How many people have thought that the day they left this world behind them? And that's why Jesus says in Matthew 24, "Be ye also ready, for in a time ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." Jesus is saying, look, be ready. Be ready. If tomorrow doesn't come, you need to be ready, because not only will your worries not be realized and your successes have no value, but also you'll be coming face to face with your Maker. You'll be coming face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And how many people tonight, how many people, you look the paper tomorrow or the next day, see how many people died on the 12th of November 2013 while we were in this church. I hope your name's not amongst them. But it could be, couldn't it? Because you see, how many people have been going through the course of their life, worried sick about this, that, the other thing. People going through the course of their life and all their focus was on doing better and getting more and accumulating more. And their health was good and things seemed to be going reasonably well for them, when the hand of death just came and grabbed them. That's why the Bible says, prepare to meet thy God. See, if you want to go to heaven, you've got to be prepared to meet God. If you don't want to go to heaven, don't bother doing anything. Switch off, don't listen to any more, don't come back to the mission. Because there's nothing you need to do. If you don't want to be in heaven, just stay the way you are. But if you want to meet God and if you want to be in heaven, then you've got to prepare to meet God. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, not heaven. So if you want things to work out well for you in eternity, in that you can go to be with the Lord in heaven, then you need to prepare for that. You don't sail through life with all your worries and all your successes and all the rest of it, and then death come and just grab you one day and take you away and think that, well, sure, you'll turn up. You'll turn up and you'll meet your Maker. People talk about meeting their Maker. And they talk about making peace with their Maker. And so many people think, I'll make my peace with my Maker. My last days, my last hours, my last few breaths, I'll make peace with my Maker. But never get that chance. That's why Jesus says, be ready. Be ready, for you don't know when that time will come. It could be today. What if tomorrow doesn't come? When you put your head down the pillow tonight, what happens if when you close your eyes tonight and put your head in the pillow and close your eyes and go to sleep, you're never waking up in this life, but you're waking up to meet your Maker. What happens? What's the story then? Well, it's a big story, isn't it? Certainly would be a big story. Because the Bible makes it clear, doesn't it? In eternity, there are only the two places, heaven or hell. There is no purgatory. There is no other place. There is no third, fourth, fifth place. There's only two places that you can possibly be, heaven or hell. That's why the Bible says life is so uncertain. We know that. So Jesus says, be ready. Because if tomorrow doesn't come, I remember speaking to a lady who was going in for a major operation. And she was a Christian lady. And I said to her, are you worried about the surgery? And she says, not really. I says, how come? Well, she said, if I went to have my surgery and I come out of theatre and I'm healed, she says, Jesus will be with me. And if I go in to have my surgery and something goes wrong and I die, I will be with Jesus. So she said, either way today, whatever happens in the theatre, I'm a winner. I'm a winner. Would you be? If tomorrow doesn't come, would you be a winner in that you would go to be with the Lord in heaven? Or would you be a loser in that you'll lose your very soul in hell itself? So that's the important issues. And people can allow other things to cloud in their minds, and they can allow other things to distract them. And yeah, they don't like to think of, and who does like to think about their own death? So they put it to the back of their minds. But to enter heaven, you're going to have to deal with your sin now. To refuse to do that or to neglect to do that means that you're going to meet your Maker, you're going to face His judgment upon you, and you're going to be cast into a lost eternity. I don't believe that there's anybody gathered into this church tonight, and that's what you want for yourself. So many people tonight in a lost eternity, that's not what they wanted for themselves. They didn't intend to end up lost. But tomorrow didn't come for them when they thought it was, and they got caught out. Wouldn't it be awful to have come to a mission where God has given you the opportunity to get right with Him, to choose Christ, know the blood applied, to have your sins forgiven, to receive the gift of eternal life? Wouldn't it be awful to have come and sat and God has given you that opportunity and yet you miss it and you meet your Maker and you discover you're lost? And there's nothing you can do about it. Thank God tonight there is something you can do about it. You can come to Christ. You can get saved. That's why the Bible, when you read it, when does it emphasize? It emphasizes today. 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 Now. Now. Now, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Why? Because if you're not saved and tomorrow doesn't come, you're lost. So, are you going to take a chance again tonight and put your head on the pillow, unsaved, hoping that you're going to be all right through the night, hoping that nothing's going to happen to you during the night. You're going to wake up in the morning again and go again another day tomorrow. Fine, if that's what's to be. But if tomorrow never comes, whatever it is that's stopping you from coming to Jesus, is it worth it? Is it worth it? Is it worth going to hell for what you're holding on to? You consider it to be a good bargain that you hold on to in this life, whatever it is that you're putting before coming to Jesus, do you consider it to be a good bargain that you can hold on to that and then lose your soul in hell? Is that a good bargain? I don't think so. I don't think there's anything worth holding on to in this life, and I don't care what it is. I don't think there's anything worth holding on to in this life and losing your soul in the next. That's a bad bargain. And that's what the devil offers you. The devil offers you a rotten bargain, for it's not a bargain. He's a con man. The Bible said he's a liar. But he'll try to whisper in your ear. What? So often, what does the devil whisper in the ear of the unsaved person at the gospel meeting? What does he whisper? He doesn't whisper, "Your man's a lunatic up there, don't listen to him." Well, he might whisper that to some people, but the most of what he whisper will be, "He's right, isn't he? But not tonight. Wait the Thursday night. There's a woman coming tomorrow night. Wait the Thursday night." Stand up the person that can guarantee 100% that they will be here on Thursday night. I'll have to sit down. None of us can guarantee it. Yet the old devil would say to you, "Ach, leave it to Sunday, the last day of the mission, and then go and speak to Jonathan. Or leave it to after the mission and send for Jonathan." It's fine if you're still around after the mission. But if tomorrow doesn't come, you won't be. So if you're not saved tonight, get saved before you go out, before you go home. Come and talk to Jonathan. I know he would be, it would fill him just with joy to be able to lead you to Christ tonight, so that you can put your head in the pillow and sleep like never you've slept before. Because if tomorrow doesn't come and you save tonight, sure, you're a winner. But if you refuse to come tonight and tomorrow doesn't come, you're a loser. Not just lose your life, you lose your soul for all eternity. If tomorrow never comes, what will that mean for you? My friend, if you're not saved, run to Jesus tonight. Run to Jesus tonight. And he'll accept you, he'll receive you. For the Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call on him tonight. Get right with him. These fellas over here, great life. It's the best thing ever happened to you. Get saved. Know the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you for what we've heard tonight. We've enjoyed George's ministry to us. We've enjoyed the hymns that we've been singing together. We've enjoyed our brother Cyril and his testimony. Lord, thank you for what you've done for him. And as the wee chorus says, it is no secret what God can do, what he's done for others. If you're not saved tonight in this meeting, he can do it for you. So, Lord, thank you that you've sounded forth the warning tonight, that these are important issues that need to be dealt with today. And if there's someone in this meeting not saved, we pray, Lord, give them the courage to deal with it today. Give them the desire, Lord, to deal with it today. And minister to them in your grace. And in your mercy, and in your love, we pray for Christ's sake. Amen.